Always here to inform you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Championship games are set for all three girls' state basketball tournaments after play last night. What a Class B tournament we've had at the Huron Arena. Eight games in, and pretty much eight games that have went down to at least the final couple of minutes, if not the final possession and the buzzer. In fact, we've even had two of the eight games go to overtime. Last night in the semifinals, Bennett County and Sanborn Central Woonsocket advanced to tonight's championship game. In the first semifinal, Bennett County was down early, down by nine against defending champion undefeated Centerville. Bennett County then steadied themselves, chipped away, took the lead in the third quarter, and held off every advance from Centerville. Bennett County advances with a 44-41 win. And in the second game, Sanborn Central Woonsocket, Del Rapids St. Mary. Again, Sanborn Central Woonsocket trailing. They were down six in the fourth quarter. Chipped away, though. Liz Beauchet scored with 4.1 seconds left to put the Blackhawks ahead by one. It was an and-one opportunity. Hit the free throw as well. The Blackhawks up 45-43. Del Rapids St. Mary never got off a legitimate shot before the end of the game, and that sent the Blackhawks to the championship. Beauchet, 14 points, 10 rebounds to lead the Blackhawks. Addie Bartholo, 10 points. Kaylee Robinson, 9 points, 10 rebounds. And Sanborn Central, Bennett County, will play for the championship. Consolation games yesterday at the arena. Parkston defeated Dubrook 56-52 in overtime. Lyman used a big third quarter to pull away and defeat Harding County 57-48. The Class A tournament out in Spearfist. The championship match is set. Sioux Falls Christian, the top seed, will play number three seed undefeated Mapialuta. Sioux Falls Christian defeated Hamlin 44-33. Mapialuta took care of Dakota Valley 72-66. Consolation games yesterday in the A. Mobridge 50, Mount Vernon Plankinton 40, Sioux Valley 56, Wagner 46. The double A out in Rapid City, the top two seeds will play for the championship tonight. O'Gorman undefeated, defending champion. I think the winning streak's like 47 or 48 games in a row now. They rolled over Rapid City Stevens 58-31. And Brandon Valley looked impressive in defeating Sioux Falls Washington 72-56. Consolation game, Spearfish 61, Sioux Falls Jefferson 54, and Mitchell defeated Pier 48-38. So here's the lineup for the final day of the girls' basketball season in South Dakota. Here in Huron at the arena, the championship, Bennett County and Sanborn Central Woonsocket. Third place, 6 o'clock, Centerville, Del Rapids, St. Mary. Consolation final, 7th place game at noon, Dubrook and Harding County. And then the consolation 5th place championship, Parkston and Lyman, will have all four games on the air again today on KOKK. In Spearfish, 7th place game, Mount Vernon, Plankinton and Wagner. 5th place consolation championship, Mobridge and Sioux Valley. Third place, Hamlin and Dakota Valley. In the championship, Sioux Falls Christian and Mapialuta. The double A in Rapid City, 7th place, Sioux Falls Jefferson and Pier. 5th place, consolation championship, Spearfish and Mitchell. Third place game, Rapid City Stevens, Sioux Falls Washington. And the championship will be O'Gorman and Brandon Valley. Look for some great basketball for South Dakota high school girls today. Have some college basketball. The NAIA National Tournament opened yesterday for both men and women. Women scored. Dakota State hosting their pod in Madison. They took care of Montana Tech 81-63. Dakota State will now play Governor State of Illinois tonight, with the winner advancing to the Final 16 in Sioux City. Dakota Wesleyan was set to open their tournament in Langston, Oklahoma, against the Masters of California, but but they had to push that game back a day due to wildfires in the area down there in Oklahoma. But Dakota Wesleyan Masters will now play this afternoon. Men score, kind of a unique thing, but Dakota Wesleyan men also playing the Masters out of California, although Wesleyan actually traveled to California. The Masters hosting their pod. Dakota Wesleyan was down 18 at halftime, down 22 midway through the second half. Had a furious rally, but ended up coming up short. Masters California ends Dakota Wesleyan's season 69-65. So that's a rundown of the scores that we have for last night. A couple of announcements to pass along. Girls basketball, Tiger Roar Booster Club postseason potluck is Monday night at the high school commons beginning at 6 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. Anyone interested in umpiring high school or teener or Legion baseball this spring and summer should attend the District 5 Umpire Clinic Monday night, 7 o'clock at the Fine Arts Building at Huron Community Campus. Any questions, contact Mike Sarda in Huron at 605-350-0888. Minnesota Twins closing in on the opening of their season for a third consecutive year. Pablo Lopez will get the ball to open the season for the Twins. Lopez, of course, going through his normal workouts here at spring training down in Florida. Lopez says of his spring training starts, he's been pleased with his outings.
You know, I feel like obviously I threw more changes than I did last time because I got some feedback from the last game that I was yanking some. They started good at zone later in that long inning. I started yanking them, but then I got it back in the zone. So I'm very happy the stuff's there. So I'm not like chasing velo. I'm not chasing movement. I'm just trying to execute, compete, and continue to use the feedback that I get like right there in the game, what we're told in between innings, and then just try to compete. So it's been two good outings that I'm in that competitive mindset, just trying to compete with what I have. And then we make adjustments that we go, and then we see, like, okay, like, they're picking up on this, they're picking up on that. Like, okay, what's the adjustment for the next game? It did feel a little better. It did feel a little more, not natural, but my last bullpen, I put, like, a lefty down me, and I'm like, okay, like, how am I going to hit this lane as consistently as I can without, like, having those spray misses that are just like non-competitive out of the zone. And again, like, I walked Dylan Carlson on one that I feel like I was trying to be too fine, even though like the catcher is already in front of me, I was still trying to think away. So just like, okay, I have to like remember what I thought, remember what I felt that led to a walk, led to a ball. But I do continue to feel more comfortable with like where to start certain pitches, realizing that because I'm already so moved, pitches that I'm trying to go to my arm side, I don't have to like change my side too much because I'm already like kind of like in the black or things like that.
Meanwhile, the Twins still have about 40 players in camp. Chief Baseball Operations Officer Derek Falvey says they're working on finalizing the roster.
Yeah, I do think, especially because of the way our infield has shaken out in spring training. You know, guys are healthy. They're going through. They're taking good steps. Ty France has come in and been awesome in camp. So I think that just adds to the depth. But you said it. I mean, Willie can go play over there. We know that. Young players like Brooks and Eddie Julian have shown signs at different at times that can contribute here at the big league level. We're just going to need to continue to evaluate camp. And hopefully we have a very difficult decision to make at the end of March.
We'll have Twins baseball on the air tomorrow at 12 noon. We're less than 2 weeks away from opening day, March 27th, the Twins at St. Louis to open up a brand new season of Twins baseball here on KOKK. Going to be a busy Dakota Sports Saturday today. We'll be talking a lot of basketball, obviously. Tim Budnagan, head boys coach for the Huron Tigers, will talk about what they've been doing since qualifying a week ago and still have 5 days before they get on the court in Rapid City against Mitchell. We'll talk to Rob Baruth. Got a chance to talk to him after last night's win in the semifinals at the B tournament. And the Blackhawks preparing to play for the title tonight against Bennett County. And we'll review the seasons for Huron Tiger C sophomore basketball, girls basketball, and also the girls JV team with their coaches, Skylar Holtrop and Jeremy Noyes. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show starting at about 11 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
The Huron Tigers on Dakota Sports KIJV, 1340 AM and 95.3 FM.
They get it to Wins. Wins shoots at the buzzer. Yes! Wins beat the buzzer. McNeil with the steal. Wins with the buzzer beater. And Huron a 10-point lead at the half.
Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV are your home for Huron Tiger Sports.
He got to shoot. 3-4 Chase. Yes! Shot clock running down. And Chase drills a three from the top of the key.
Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV are your home for Huron Tiger Sports.
Rebound down to Leyendecker, and that will wrap it up. It was never easy. Orange and black, back to back. Huron will return to the AA tournament.
Huron Tiger boys basketball at the state AA tournament in Rapid City. First round game on Thursday, March 20th, with the Mitchell Colonels pregame at about 2:20. Tip-off 2:45 Thursday, March 20th on Dakota Sports.
The Huron Tigers on Dakota Sports KIJV, 1340 AM and 95.3 FM.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Hey, first up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, a lot of basketball to talk today. We lead off with Tim Budnagan, head coach of the Huron Tiger boys basketball team. Already been a week since they got their spot in the AA tournament, which begins next Thursday, but that's the probably the bad thing when you look at the AA schedule. The boys go 12 days without playing if they qualify for the state tournament. But again, coach, good problem to have.
Yeah, it is. Sure beats not being there. And we've had a, you know, we have a good week of practice. And, well, I think we're getting better. It looks like we're getting better each and every day. And we'll have one more really hard practice today, and we'll start cutting back on Monday, Tuesday.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, that Sodak 16 game, and I was like talking to Coach Baruth about that last night from Sanborn too, that Sodak 16 is such a difficult game in just about every way. That is a harder game to play than any game you'll play in the state tournament, except maybe potentially a semifinal game. Getting there is three-fourths of the battle.
Yeah, it is, because it's a one and done. You know you're done after that game. Your sights are on the state tournament, so that you can play three more games. Now our end date, we know our end date. With the DAC 16, you don't know whether it ends abruptly that night or you go on to the state tournament.
And like I said, you know, it gives you some time. You know, I'm sure the guy's got a few days off there before he got back to practice. As you said, hard practices here through basically today, then start to back off some as you get set for the travel out. But, you know, you can go back and refine a few things. I'm sure you worked on a few free throw shooting drills.
Yeah, we did. We worked a lot on shooting right now. Work a lot on keeping the ball out of the paint. You know, obviously, Tally, we're going to pay a lot of attention to him. We got to keep him out of the paint. He's scoring 18 points a game. 13 points are either free throws or from the paint. We got to keep him out of there.
You know, and that's the thing. You can fully focus on Mitchell here for 12 days. Played them in January. Got the win down at the Corn Palace. But it's, you know, especially in Double A, you know, you look at Bennett County and the Girls B. Not a lot known about them. Now we find them in the championship. There's not a lot of secrets in Double A.
Not a lot. You know, the last couple of games, Brandon, OG, and Pierre all played them some sort of zone. The last team that played a man-to-man was Rapid City Central, so we paid particular attention to that one, and Washington, which was, you know, about 3 weeks ago. So there hasn't been a lot of teams that played Mitchell man-to-man just because of their scoring in the paint. Hinker's averaging about 10 points. Smith is averaging 16. Marcus is averaging 18, and 13 of the 18 are in the paint. Hit Smith is 13 of 16 are in the paint, and Hinker's all 10 in the paint. So they're scoring about 54. Those guys are getting about 39.
And and they play some defense too. Tally, for all we talk about him running the show, being the point guard, hard to find a quicker kid in the state.
Right, and he was matched up on Andy most of the night when we played him down there. So we got to try to exploit that matchup a little bit, make Marcus guard on the box, and then try to get the ball on the outlet, and then make him play 93 feet. He doesn't come out. Smith really rarely comes out. We got to make those guys run up and down the floor.
You know, and overall, you look at our guys, again, they go back to the Sturgis game. I don't think we ever trailed in the game, but we couldn't necessarily ever put them away either, give credit to Sturgis. But that's also kind of been our method of operation this year.
It has. You know, we get a big lead, and all of a sudden we cough it up. And then we kind of stretch it out at the end where we feel comfortable. But, you know, being in all those close games, it's gonna pay dividends down the stretch because we've been there before. When you play possession by possession and you need a hoop, we have some go-to plays now that the guys feel comfortable running. And we just got to continue, like I said, to brush up on some things and to make sure that we're ready to go next Thursday.
You know, Blake Elwine, focus has been on, he had the shoulder injury against O'Gorman. It's been coming back, I assume, even better now. He still, as of Sturgis, he still wasn't at 100%, but that's maybe the one beauty of this, having 12 days off. It gives him a little more chance to, I assume, fully get close, if not two, back to 100% by next Thursday.
Yeah, it does. And it gives us time to practice together. Blake sat out a lot of practice time leading up to Sturgis with that shoulder, and now he's been full participant in every practice. We've had our full roster at practice, so it's been kind of nice where we can practice with a full roster and get used to each other again.
You know, and that's the thing with a full roster, that's where the team is made there. You're only as good as you practice, as the cliche goes, but we have quality up and down that roster, and I'm sure that makes for some interesting situations sometimes in practice.
Yeah, it does. That way we could play the best five on the next best five, and we don't really lose a beat. We have a ton of guys that come in and they're working their tails off. They're doing everything that they can in order to help us out. I thought Big Noel had a great practice yesterday. He played Hinker and he did a fantastic job. But they're paying attention to detail this week. They're paying attention to the scout. We run through a play and we ask, hey, can you run it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they do a fantastic job right now. So our guys have been locked in for the last couple of days. Hopefully we can lock in one more day, give them a day off. And then, again, like we said, Monday, Tuesday, we'll just do some walkthrough things. And by that time, we'll be sick of Mitchell.
Well, you always are anyway. So. But it's the big stage, and hopefully lessons learned from last year. We hadn't been to the state tournament for a couple of years before last year. Came home with the seventh place finish. Had a chance, we felt, to compete and win. Just didn't happen in those first two games. So, like I said, hopefully lessons learned to carry over to this year. Kind of comes down to that senior class.
Yeah, it does. They've been there before, obviously. They were with us last year. I think the seniors are ready. They've done a fantastic job this year of coming to work every day with a little bit of determination and some commitment. And, they do pay attention to detail as well. They ask great questions. I think they've, been leaders for us, mentors for the younger guys, helping them out in practice. And then in games, when we go a little bit younger, they're the first on the bench talking to them and cheering for them. And it's just been a really good situation for us with those seniors because, most seniors, if a younger guy comes in, they're playing in front of you, kind of take that the wrong way. These seniors have accepted it, and they've coached the younger guys and been mentors for them.
And wrap it up with this. I know we got practice coming up here, but give Tiger Nation credit, too. Came out full force, full throat last Saturday, and you know a lot of orange and black will be making the trek west.
Well, it was very impressive at the arena. The arena had a lot of energy last Saturday night. We can't thank the Huron Nation and the people, the community that came out and supported us and continue to support us. Like I said, we're going to get on the bus Wednesday and we're looking for, you know, a state title. And if that doesn't happen, then we'll go to plan B. But right now, we think we're one of the teams that can win it. We think we have enough depth. We think we have enough size. We think we have enough grit and determination that, you know, things go our way. I think that we can win one, but that we got to play for it yet.
Tim Budnick and head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball. Tigers and Mitchell in the AA tournament will be 2:45 Central next Thursday. And, of course, we'll have all three games Thursday, Friday, Saturday on Tiger. Hey, we've got a big game coming up tonight. In fact, four games to wrap up the girls' basketball season. Final day of the Girls B tournament. Talk to Rob Baruth, head coach, Sanborn Central Woonsocket. They're playing for a championship tonight. That's next year on Dakota Sports.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and Rob Baruth, head coach, Sanborn Central Woonsocket Girls, joins us here. The Blackhawks advance to the state championship tonight at the Huron Arena Class B Championship, a come-from-behind win over Del Rapids St. Mary. And Rob, let's just go right to that final probably 4 minutes of the game. You're down six, just like Thursday night, no panic. Girls stayed with it, gave yourself a chance at the end.
Well, that's what we call timeout there. We just had to get organized. We were just a little unorganized. We were just a titch out of sorts, I thought the girls were, and we just needed to just get ourselves together. And, you know, and we were struggling at the time, but I told them, I said, you know, we're only down 4 points here, even though we're struggling offensively. So let's get us a stop and go down and get a bucket or get the free throw line. And, you know, we plugged away and just kept within striking distance the whole time, and we were right there. So, you know, and all you can ask for is to work hard and give yourself an opportunity at the end of the game to win it. So.
You know, in the last 10 seconds there, you're down one, I believe it is. Then you score, and, well, you know, just talk about that play. I mean, I think the whole building knew the first option was Liz Boucher, but yet I believe it was Alexis Gertz got it there on the wing, and Liz blocked out, got herself the open shot right underneath for the easy hoop.
That's an end-of-game set that we've worked on in practice, I don't know, probably 100 times, and we just had never had an opportunity in a game to use it. And so the girls executed. They were comfortable. They were relaxed, you know, when you're able to do something like that. And they just, like I said, they executed perfect, a perfect screen to pop Kaylee loose so we can get her the ball, and then she can just drop it down. Liz had a perfect seal, and she got the score and a free throw. So, you know, I was so excited that we got it to execute, and I think we had 6.5 seconds left when that happened, and they only took 2.5, but it was a big, big play, just gets us to the championship game.
You know, an ebb and flow of the game, and it's just like your game on Thursday night against Lyman as well. I thought St. Mary was giving you some problems with their quickness. They kind of wore you down at times, but you knew that was going to be, and you just knew you had to find a way to counteract it.
Well, we did. You know, we were floating passes at times and just being a little bit lackadaisical. And then, you know, on several timeouts, we kept talking, we got to quit being lackadaisical. We got to take care of the ball better. We got to make better passes and come meet the ball, because that's their game. And they're very quick and they got good hands. And they just create some chaos in the full court on you if you're not paying attention. And then they caught us a few times. And once we settled in and got a little better with it, then we were down and able to get a few more buckets.
You know, and just overall, you know, I said to you in the pregame that, you know, St. Mary, I felt they were probably the hottest team coming into the tournament. They showed it in two games. Just, again, your girls were able to find a way.
Well, that's, you know, it's a veteran group. You know, those girls are, you know, Kaylee and Lex and Liz, and they, you know, they're veterans. They've played a lot of big games in their career so far, and they stay calm and they keep going, and they, you know, those are big things that help when you have those seniors and a junior like that can just continue. And Liz struggled. She was just kind of struggling with some things, was frustrated not getting some calls, so we had to get her out a couple times and kind of get her mind right a little bit so that she was organized. But once we get her organized, she's pretty electric. She can really make some plays.
And one thing to remember, too, Liz Boche had four fouls at the time of that game winner.
Yeah, she did, you know. And you know, we took a chance on it. We took her out when she got her fourth right away at the start of the fourth. But I just didn't feel like we had much time that we could just sit and wait too long. We just had to get her back and go and do our thing. We did a little switching up on some defensive matchups so that she didn't have to chase the Miller girl. But, you know, it worked. You know, they kind of got to clicking right when we needed to.
Now let's go back to the beginning of the season. I know you did have some new girls come in, and you know, a lot of talent there. But you know, that can't be the only thing that you know the team had to mesh. And boy, I don't know that you missed a step coming into the season. The mesh has been there this year. That this team has been together.
It took us a little time, you know, everybody to find out, you know, what's our role going to be, what we're able to do, you know, because we were returning a pretty nice group of girls too, and so to get all that together and get all that to work and understand, you know, who's going to take big shots and big games and who's going to do those things and who's going to come up and who's going to be your defensive and how we're going to do our defensive rotation. So, you know, those things take time. You can try them in practice and you can do all you want to in practice, but you got to have some game and some game time just so that everybody gets that. And I really think since the conference tournament, you know, things have really started to gel and we hit that tough stretch and I was a little bit worried about it, but when we had Ethan right away and really did well, I thought that really set the tone for us to finish the season strong.
Now, Bennett County, number 6 against number 7 for the championship. But I think that's just indicative of this tournament. Yeah, you're seeded 1 through 8 because that's the way you have to do it. But every game's been tight. The consolation games yesterday went down to the final minute or two, or at least both semifinals went down to the final possession. I don't know if you get a more even field.
No, I think this is our 6th year in the state tournament, and I think of all those 6 years, this might be the most even it's been. You know, when we look at the 6th and 7th seed or playing for the championship, but you go and look at the power points and look at strength of schedule of all these teams, they've all played great teams, and they come in and they're really good. I thought 1 through 8, just about anybody could put together 3 games and win the championship. So, you know, we're fortunate we've put together 2 good ones and we've stuck with, and our leadership has showed at the end to finish those games. So, you know, and tomorrow with Bennett County, you know, they're going to be really athletic, big and athletic, and so that's going to create some new kind of problems for us, because I'll tell you, they've got probably 3 of the most athletic girls I've seen in a long time.
You know, in Bennett County, I think I saw a story on them before the state tournament started. They don't want to be known as the team coming in under the radar. Well, they've made their statement this year. You know, they were a young team, but yet they look like a veteran team out there. You don't get to the state championship by mistake. What's your biggest worries with Bennett County?
Well, the biggest thing with them is they play so free. You know, stuff just doesn't seem to rattle them. You know, with Centerville, they got down big early, and it looked like the game could get blowed open, and then they settle in, and they make some shots and make some plays, and they just keep going, and their athleticism is what really keeps them in the games, because they just create havoc on defense with their length. They're tall and long, and they jump well, and those 2 O'Neill girls are just great, great athletes. You know, one of them reminds me of Amaya Sellin. I mean, just that kind of an athlete that, you know, doesn't quite have the ball skills that Maya Sellin had, but just the athleticism is just, and the strength is crazy. So, you know, that'll create a big problem for us, especially in the paint.
But on the other hand, you know, there's some things you can do too. And well, I imagine it's been an all-nighter here preparing for this. Bottom line is, everybody can rest on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll just rest on Sunday. You know, we got back to work and we were up most of the night with our game film and getting scouting reports. I'd actually seen him play some game film on some teams we played during the year. I'd seen him play a couple times, so. You know, it's not that they're brand new, but it'll still be a new different matchup. You know, they're pretty excited to being in the championship just like we are. And like I said, they're young teams, so a lot of times them young teams, they just play free. They don't seem to have all the worries in the world. They're just playing ball.
And wrap it up with this, hey, state championship, just go out, let it fly, let it go. You know, it sounds funny, but in many ways, I think playing that Sodak 16 is a way worse game than playing a state championship. You know you're there, you got it right in front of you, you know you can go get it.
Well, I think so. You know, I've always thought that game was one of the toughest games to play all year, that one and then the Friday night semifinals, because you're just so close. you know, that SODAC 16 one to get into the state, you're just so close. And you know if you win, you got three more games for sure. And your dream is still alive. And the same way on Friday night, you come into the Final Four, and everybody's dream is still alive. And you're just right there. And, you know, we showed that, you know, we scored right at the end because we were right there, and we finished it right at the end. So, you know, that's how close and that's how good of teams were in here. And Del Rapids St. Mary's, hats off to them. I mean, well-coached, really good team. They're quick, shoot the ball well. And, you know, we were the 3-4 seed just in our region, you know, to come out. So, I mean, that speaks so volumes of what our region is.
Rob Baruth, head coach, Sanborn Central Woonsocket. The Blackhawks will play for the Class B championship tonight at the Huron Arena. The opponent, Bennett County. The Blackhawks, the 6th seed. Bennett County, the 7th seed coming in, but they'll play for the championship tonight. As a reminder again, we'll have all four games, consolation finals and championship finals, on the air today on KOKK. 12 noon start for the consolation, 6 o'clock start for third place in championship here on Dakota Sports. We still have more girls basketball to go. We'll check in with Skylar Holtrap, sophomore C-team coach for Huron Tiger girls basketball. Also the Tiger JV girls coach, Jeremy Noyes. Those are coming up on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Hey, we're doing a recap here on Dakota Sports Saturday of Huron Tiger lower level girls basketball. We start off with our C team coach, Skylar Holtrap. The Tiger C team went 12-8 on the season, and coach, just overall, nice season. You had to mesh some girls together that maybe necessarily hadn't played much together before. Had a nice run there. I think you went 10-1, 9-1, something like that. So you saw a lot of good things out of this bunch.
Absolutely. These girls worked extremely hard for us every single day. Our big word for practice and games was energy, right? We had to bring the energy, and we'd let our energy dictate how we'd play and things like that. And they meshed really well together. And, you know, it was kind of neat to see them, you know, work together. And they just kind of picked each other up, you know, over Christmas break. It's kind of nice. We get a couple weeks off where those eighth grade girls get to learn all of our plays, all of the things that we do in our game, or, you know, in our season, you know, from out of bounds plays to our press breaker to our press and things like that. And in our upperclassmen, you know, those high school girls, those freshmen, sophomore, they pick those girls up and they're willing to teach them, pull them to the side and say, no, this is exactly what you need to do and things like that. I couldn't be more proud of each and every one of them. So,
you know, we'll clarify that too. This is the second year of this system where middle school girls play November and December, then they're done. So, you know, that has been very helpful the last 2 years, because increase your numbers, you always knew you're going to have a game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't have to tell any teams that we are, you know, we can't play C game, you know, so that's huge. And I appreciate those eighth graders. You know, we ask them, we personally, you know, ask them and say, do you want to come and play, you know, extend your season? Because we know that they've played a lot of basketball already, you know, and that's a big commitment, right? If you're in, you're in. And we just ask, you know, that if you do decide to do this, you know, you're committed with us all the way through. And those girls, they accepted the challenge. So we pulled up about six of them. We pulled six of them up, and they were at every practice. They were just instrumental in what we could do this season. So
And then another thing, do I always bring this to the basically the freshman or C team coach via whatever sport? You know, there's transition here for the freshmen and the eighth graders when they come in too, because all of a sudden you're practicing every day. You're going where the varsity goes, a lot of late nights. You got to make sure you're up on the homework. There's a lot of adjustments when you get once you get to high school ball.
Absolutely. You know, it's crazy. We traveled to Sioux Falls quite a bit this season, and so we're asked, you know, those girls are having to get out of school at noon, you know, and they've missed a lot of afternoon classes. But, you know, what's crazy is you look at the honor roll at the high school, and I think almost every one of our girls is on that honor roll. So that's huge that they take academics just as important as they do with basketball, and the eighth graders is no different. You look at their honor roll, and all six of those girls were on the honor roll. So that's extremely important to us.
Well, let's just run down. You have a full roster there, and I think all these girls got to play a lot of ball this year. You know, some played some JV as well. So I'll just run down the roster, talk a little about each girl and what they brought to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lennon Magnus Caudell, she's a freshman. She played JV as well, but she was our motor, right? She wasn't afraid to attack the basket and things like that for us, and she was our leader. I would say overall she was the most improved from last season. Again, she was one of those that was asked as an eighth grader to come up, and so she had a leg up as far as, you know, our person, you know, our plays and things like that, and our philosophies here in our program and things like that. And so I really appreciate how hard she worked every single day. There were a lot of times that her and some of the other girls were at varsity practice that they weren't even at our practice, and they were able to help us out, and they just stepped right in and didn't miss a beat. So, and then we had Reagan Bischoff, number 22 for us. She was a freshman as well, and she was our point guard. She was our kind of our leader. She'd call out the plays, things like that. Again, she is one, just like Lennon, where she is going to be on ball. She's going to hustle, and she's scrappy. She's super scrappy. She's going to take that ball away from you, and she's going to go the other way for a layup. And she's got a nice three-point shot for us, too. She hit a lot of three-pointers throughout the season. And then we got another freshman, Maggie Storm. She started for us too. Again, super scrappy. That's why I love with this group. We could run a lot of our 1-2 press, things like that, and we could kind of, you know, give other point guards and other ball handlers fits from other teams and things like that. And we have talked, you know, Maggie, we got to work on our defense a little bit, keeping people in front of us, okay, and moving our feet. But overall, offensively, she actually found her three-point game this year, and I thought that was really key. In big situations, she hit some big threes for us to keep our lead into games and to finish closeout games. Then we had a sophomore, Cam Fuchs. She played JV as well. And she works extremely hard on the rebounding. Her inside post game moves have really impressed me this last year. Unfortunately, you know, I had to sit her a couple times because, you know, Cam, you can't get down on yourself, right? You make a bad play, you accidentally turn the ball over. Don't pop. Just you got to get back, right? You just got to make it up on the defensive end. And you know, that's the big thing I think we got to keep working with her on. But she's making great strides in her basketball abilities. And then we had a freshman Claire Davis. She is a workhorse down low. She had a lot of, you know, against these ESD schools and some of these Sioux Falls schools, there are a lot of big girls, right? There's a lot of 6-footers, 6-foot-1s, and she battled, right? The last game of the year against Brandon Valley, I thought she did a really nice job on their posts. She held those posts to just about nothing. Watertown, the girls, obviously, they know they're big, number 42, and we held her to she held her to 6 points, you know. And so she did a nice job on her post defense and even being able to score the ball. We worked a lot in practice about, you know, when our guards drive, you know, circling around the backside for our posts and getting open and getting easy layups. And she did a lot of that for us. And so those rounded out our 5 starters for us. And then we had an 8th grader, Jayla Schley. She is extremely talented. She had a great 8th grade year. And then it didn't stop when she came up to the C team either. She came off the bench for us, and she very consistent inside the paint. you know, obviously we got to still work on some defensive things, knowing where our girl is and things like that. But she was someone, if we needed to post her up, we had a play kind of designed for our post and we'd call it out. She'd be able to post up and she just goes to work and lays it up. Very smooth finisher for us. But she's not afraid to work hard. She's one of them farm girls. She's not afraid to work hard. So Piper DeGene, she's a freshman. She worked... she actually, towards the end of the year, had her had a bad ankle. She was unable to play the last game for us, but she was our sixth girl off the bench, and she would help relieve some of those guards. And her defense is what she does really well for us. She's not gonna score a lot of points. I'm not sure she had very few points throughout the season, but what she doesn't score, she makes up in getting after it. Defensively and playing really good defense and causing some steals, things like that. And she's not afraid to get down on the ground and grab that ball. She's not afraid when there's a loose ball, she's going to fall on the ball and she's going to get after it. And then we had an eighth grader, Tally Hins. Tally's another farm girl. She's a rodeo girl. She's not afraid. She stands probably, I joked with her, I said, is it 5'4 or is it 5'2? I wasn't sure. But I'll tell you what, she's down low, she's getting the rebounds. She kind of can get lost, you know, a little bit. And so she's able to get to the basket. They forget to box her out, and she's getting offensive rebounds. And so it's crazy, you know, the smallest girl on the floor getting some offensive rebounds and not afraid to put it back up. And she just works extremely hard. She was one that we would put her on the front of the 1-2 press, full court, and she could run all day, right? She's running around all over. So, and then she's got a nice three-point shot for us. She's pretty consistent from the three-point line. And then we have an eighth grader, Ramsey Roselle, put a lot of time in the gym. You know her dad, you know Chris. She puts a lot of time in. She had a great eighth grade year as well, and that didn't stop. Obviously, when she came here as a sophomore, sophomore game. She works. She's got great ball handling skills. She was one that. When there was a tight defender, she wanted it in her hands, and she wasn't afraid to take it to them and wasn't afraid of them stealing it and things like that. So she was a great asset to have it as a guard for when Lennon and Reagan, because obviously they played the JV game, and so they are tired by the sophomore game. You know, they've been busting their butts during the JV game, and so she was a great relief for them. She's got a great... great three-point shot, but she's also not afraid to get to the basket. And that's what I love about her, is she wasn't afraid to rip and just attack to the basket. And she likes to do the Euro step thing and wasn't afraid of contact and getting to the free throw line. So that was good. And then we got Arian Fitzer. She's probably about 5'11". She's a real tall girl. She didn't get in as much as we were hoping for. A little raw yet in some of the skills that we need from her, but this was a great opportunity for her to get a leg up for next year. And I'm glad that she stuck it out with us and never a bad attitude. But she always, you know, was a sponge. She was absorbing everything and those are the types of girls we need, because she's gonna be a huge asset next year. So then we have Colby Glanzer, which is a sophomore, came over from JVC last year. Been having some health issues throughout the season. Hopefully they get that figured out. I know they're going to Mayo here in a couple weeks. Hopefully they get that figured out. But I know she would feel like she was going to pass out and things during, you know, while we were playing games and stuff. And so I was pretty ginger with her, but she works extremely hard on the rebounds and things like that. And again, a great asset that we got from James Valley, and as only a sophomore, we've got two more years of her. So I'm excited to see what we get out of her in the next couple years too. And then we had two eighth graders, Carly Winiger and Lainey Marshall. Again, they didn't play as much as well. We wanted these girls. We knew that bringing up six girls was going to be tough, right? There's 15 girls on this roster, and there's only, well, let's go, 32 minutes in a game. You know, it's hard to get them all in. But we wanted them there because we knew that in the next couple, they're only eighth graders. If we can get them to be a part of this and see what it looks like and what we're expecting of them in the next couple, you know, in the next 4 years, we wanted them to be a part of that. So they did get in, and they worked extremely hard, never complained in practice. They were always willing to jump into a drill. And so, again, I'm excited to see where we go in the next couple years. you know, the next 4 years with them. They're only eighth graders, and they're only going to get better. Absolutely. And we have another post for us, Jada Morrison. This was her first year back. She had a couple years off due to a knee injury, and it sounds like she's got to have it cleaned out again this summer. So I don't know how much we'll have her again this summer. But, again, she stands at almost 6 foot. I don't think she's – I doubt she's taller than me. Maybe she is. I don't know. She'd probably say she is. But she works extremely hard under the basket, and she gets all the rebounds. Again, that knee, I'm not sure how much that knee is ailing her, you know, on the defensive end. And I know she's nervous. You know, when you go through a big knee procedure like that, you're kind of a little skittish on, you know, what can I do, what can I not do. But hopefully, you know, getting that cleaned out this summer, and hopefully that doesn't set her back, and she's right back where she needs to be. But again, she worked extremely hard for us as well, you know, grabbing rebounds and putting the ball back into the basket. So yeah, overall, I after the O'Gorman game, it got a little emotional. They worked extremely hard, and things didn't go our way. We couldn't get a call in the second half. I might have slammed my water bottle down, might have got a technical. I learned I won't do that again. But she did miss both free throws, though, Duff. So so did it really count? I don't know.
A
team foul. There we go. But, again, you know, I told him, you know, it's one of those things where you do all the right things, right? You do all the right things. You work extremely hard. And today it didn't go our way. And I was, and of course, everyone's crying. You know, I start to tear up, you know. But I said, you know what? You guys work your tails off all the time, you know, and that's life, though, sometimes. Sometimes you don't get it, right? You work extremely hard. You do all the right things, and it just doesn't work for you. But we can learn from this, and we can come back. And we have one more game at home in front of our crowd in the Huron Arena against Brandon Valley, which Brandon Valley had beat every team by, like, 30. And we came out that game, and I believe I've got it right here. We came out, and, you know, at halftime we were up, you know, up three, and then we got up actually 13. No, that's wrong. But we were up 9 at halftime. I do know that. And then we ended up losing by 1. We followed a girl with 3 seconds left. She goes to the free throw and makes both free throws. There's 3 seconds left. We got the ball, you know, out. We're hoping. We had Tally actually hidden back here. I kind of tried to hide her. I kind of tried to stand in front of her. I was hoping we were going to make the long throw to Tally here in the corner, but it didn't work out. But I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of teams, you know, would have said, you know what, last game of the year, it's Brandon Valley. They're a powerhouse, you know, down in the metro, you know, but they don't. That's not this group. They work extremely hard. They have energy, and I couldn't ask for anything more from them. So.
And talk with Skyler Holtrop. He's the C team sophomore coach for Huron Tiger girls basketball. Wrap it up with this. Same thing I always wrap up this interview with. You know, this bunch has potential. What do you want to see these girls work on? You know, it's because there's always going to be chances to contribute next year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we got to get shots up. We got to be a little more consistent shooters, you know, from the outside and things like that. So I know that's one thing that we really got to work on as a program. And then ball handling, using our left hand. We don't like to use our left hand because it's not we're not as confident in that hand, and we got to work on our ball handling skills to be able to just relieve some pressure for ourselves and make it easier on us so we can get the ball into the half court and things like that. And then, of course, defense, you know, getting quicker. We can always get quicker, you know, and things like that. And but like you said, there's a ton of potential with this group. You mix them in with the sophomores of this year, you know, even the juniors, you know, and there's even lower classmen, you know, the 5th, 6th, 7th grade coming up. I mean, it's a fun time to be a part of Huron girls basketball.
Skyler Holtrop, C team and sophomore coach for Huron Tiger girls basketball. A successful season as they finished out at 12-8. We'll be back on Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, now we review here on Tiger Girls JV basketball this past season. Jeremy Noyes was their head coach, a record of 6-11 on the season. And, coach, you know, JV's always tricky, first off, because you're really not preparing for your next game. You're helping the varsity prepare for their next game, and then the award is you play at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Most days I had four of my girls in practice, and by the time you are limited with quarters with them, they got to play together for one quarter each game. So that's the challenge with JV. That happens with a lot of the programs whose numbers aren't up in the 30s and whatnot. So that's something you got to expect and learn how to deal with, but it's definitely a challenge.
Not only that, I think you had freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. So in some cases, a freshman and a junior may not have played before this year.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of those girls never practiced together at all. You know, I had four girls, like I said, that I saw every day in practice. I would see a couple of the freshmen, Lennon and Reagan, once in a while, and a couple of the sophomores, Cam and Colby, would practice with us once in a while. But there were a couple that were never at a varsity practice. So I always had at least one kid on the floor that didn't practice with us, and I didn't get to see every day in practice. So that makes it difficult at times.
And you mentioned quarters between the varsity and the C team. Everybody was maxing out, which is good, except sometimes you have to do the arithmetic. Who can play this fourth quarter?
Yeah, it definitely is a math challenge, and I was proud of myself for not having to go to the recipe card this year, but I was able to keep it straight in my head for the year and keep things straight for Cody with the girls who were playing varsity as well. So we made it through.
Well, let's just run down the roster, talk about each girl, and a little bit about what they brought to the team.
Sure. We had three juniors that played regularly for us, Haley Rogers and Jency Gergen. Both did a great job shooting the ball for us. They were the leaders of the team, always came out and competed. You know, and a lot of people look at them as being stand-around shooters only, and they're not. I thought both their games improved a ton. I thought Jency's ball handling improved a ton throughout the year, and I thought Haley did a very good job defensively a lot of times. And Haley got a little more comfortable handling the ball as the year went on, and that's something that she'll have to continue to work on in the future. Actually, those were my only two juniors. Chloe Carr played the first couple games of the year, JV, and that was it, as she earned her starting spot after that. So I had three juniors for, I believe, the first three games, and then just was down to Haley and Jency after that. My sophomores, I had Izzy Kramer and Addie Knight were both starters for me. Throughout the year, Addie was limited with quarters. She only played two quarters a night. Addie does a phenomenal job on the defensive end of the floor, and she did a really good job going to the basket for me this year. Izzy Kramer had some really big games for us. Last game of the year, Jency and Haley weren't shooting the ball real well that game, and Izzy was able to step outside and hit a few big shots, and we had a lead on a very good Brandon Valley JV team in the fourth quarter of that. So she had some big, a couple times she went down and played with the C team when the JV wasn't playing. I think she had 27 in a game down there. So she had some big games this year. Addie scored in double digits a ton, and that's tough to do when you're only playing two quarters. So definitely had big things out of both those two. Jesslyn played with us the first three games and then tore her ACL, but she led us in scoring, I think, two of the first three games that she played in. And, you know, I thought that one really hurt because I had five girls that I could have on the floor who practiced together, and that took it down to four. And unfortunately, it's a five-on-five game instead of four-on-four. So we felt the effects of that right away, and we had five or six really rough games after that. You know, and this isn't the first year that's happened. Jency tore ACL my first year here. Allison also tore her ACL that year in the season. And then Maddie Juergens did last year. And all of those, I think, were around the end of January or so. And we just never seemed to recover from them. And that was kind of my fear this year when Jesslyn went down, was that we wouldn't come out of that funk. But I think we had five or six games that were a struggle. And then we started to pull ourselves out of that hole. And I thought we were playing pretty good basketball by the end of the year. We were playing hard and competing with some really good teams. The other sophomores that I had are Cam Fuchs and Kobe Glanzer. And like I said, those two practice with us at times. Sometimes I'd see them once a week, maybe twice a week. And sometimes we had stretches I didn't see them for 2 weeks. So didn't always have the luxury of having them in practice. But they both always came in and worked hard. Both of them are good rebounders when they focus on rebounding, going after the basketball hard. Kobe came in and gave Izzy some good minutes, breaks at the end of the year, and was able to come in and hold her own. I thought Cam had some games where she really played well defensively and also rebounded the ball well. For our freshmen, we had Lennon. Magnus Caudill was a starter for us this year, and I thought Lennon came a long ways this year with attacking the basket and playing hard. She gets winded pretty quick, so she comes in and out pretty quickly, but when she's in there, you always know what you're going to get. She always is going to give you 110%. She's going to go hard to the basket, and is a tough-nosed kid. Reagan Bischoff came off the bench for us, played a lot of minutes. She's kind of a similar player like that. Reagan, her outside shooting has improved this year, and I'm hoping that she'll continue to improve. And she also did a really good job handling the ball for us this year, and definitely holds her own defensively. My other two freshmen, Maggie Storm and Claire Davis, didn't see a whole lot of the court. When they were called upon, they were always ready and came in and played hard. They started suiting for me after Christmas when Jesslyn went down. We needed to call up a couple of kids, and they got the call, and they were able to come up and take advantage of an opportunity that was given to them.
And you mentioned your daughter, Jesslyn Noyes. Go a little deeper into that. She tore her ACL there before Christmas, just in the third game of the year. And I sometimes imagine when that happened, it was hard to separate coach from dad.
Definitely. We've had some long talks right up to this week, and, you know, I was warned beforehand by other coaches that those kids fall into a dark place pretty quick, and it's tough to stay positive. I think the good thing is she told me just this week that, you know, she didn't always know how much she loved basketball. She always questioned whether she loved the game or if she did it because she knew I loved the game. And she said, I always kind of leaned towards that I did it for you, but now I really miss it. So I'm hoping that fire keeps burning, and I know she's going to work hard in rehab to get back on the court at the best level that she can.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this, and always the last question I ask. Obviously, you know these girls well. There's roles to be had next year, varsity. What do you want to see this bunch work on? You know, just maybe a few things in particular, you know, improve on and make yourself available for 7 o'clock next year.
For sure. I think the biggest jump for the kids is always the defensive end of the court. You know, like I said, with Jency and Haley, they space the floor really well, and shooters are always going to be able to shoot. It's whether you can come in and take care of the basketball and hold your own defensively. And the good thing about these kids is, like I said, you know what you're going to get. They're going to show up every day in the summer. They're going to give you everything they got, and they're coachable. So that's where it starts, and it's that's the kind of kids we want in our program.
Jeremy Noyes, head JV coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball, a 6-11 record this season. That wraps up Dakota Sports Saturday. Again, final day for girls basketball in South Dakota. We'll have all four games from the Class B girls basketball tournament on the air today, 12 noon for the consolation final, 6 o'clock third place and championship here on KOKK. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment is next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown.